I am Plata on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. We've got the chance to go to New York for a little bit of the holiday season in the Big Apple next Friday, the 18th of December, with an exclusive online concert, a Swinging Birdland Christmas featuring Billy Stritch, Jim Caruso, and Clea Blackhurst. It's an event that celebrates the 2019 album Christmas at Birdland that is available now, featuring terrific holiday music from Club 44 Records. Jim Caruso joins me to preview the concert on the 18th. It will also feature the legendary Marilyn May, Dave Koz, and Luke Hawkins. This would have been the 11th annual presentation at the legendary Birdland Jazz Club on 44th Street, just off of 8th Avenue in Midtown Manhattan. The performances will actually be recorded at Birdland for streaming on next Friday through Radio Free Birdland. Visit events.broadwayworld.com. for tickets, and birdlandjazz.com for more information. Jim Caruso is an accomplished performer who, as we'll discuss, has performed at some of the best rooms in New York City: Birdland, Bemelman's at the Carlisle Hotel, the Algonquin Hotel, and Arcee's Place. He made his Broadway debut alongside Liza Minnelli in the Tony Award-winning Liza's at the Palace, and for 17 years now has hosted the Monday night show Jim Caruso's Cast Party, which, since the COVID-19 pandemic, he's taken online to YouTube. Pajama Cast Party features talented performers entertaining audiences at home from their homes. Visit jim-caruso.com for more. And the album Christmas at Birdland is terrific. We taped this interview a couple of weeks ago, just before the Americans celebrated their Thanksgiving. I listened to the album, and it got me in the mood for Christmas with terrific songs like You Meet the Nicest People, It Happened in Sun Valley, The Christmas Waltz, Manhattan in December, among many others. Please welcome to the Plant Online program Jim Caruso. Mr. Caruso, good morning.
Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
Pretty good yourself.
Very well.
I was going to ask you about what New York City is like at this time. Is it still the same?
Well, it's not the same. But I have to tell you, there is so much energy in this city. It is not a ghost town, let me tell you. This whole time, this terrible last few months that we've been dealing with, there have been a lot of changes in this town. But I have to tell you, the energy has never wavered. All you have to do is go into Central Park and see people running and walking their dogs and hanging. You know, almost everybody's in a mask in this city, which is one reason why it's done well. Until just recently, people have been getting a little lax,
right,
in the social distancing, I guess.
Yeah.
But man, there's enthusiasm and energy, and certainly now that we're getting close to the holidays, there's a lot of joy in the air.
Indeed. It has been hard, hasn't it, for people in show business and in the theater, and not just people like you who are performers, but people behind the scenes, obviously, people who work in cabarets, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's our lifeblood to sing for human beings. And when we can't be in a room, obviously, the majority of that work goes away. But happily, we've been able to come up with a way to do concerts and to do one-on-one events online that have really helped carry the burden of this time and help entertain people that are out there watching that need to be cheered up and to bring some sunshine to people's lives.
Yeah, one of the marvelous things is Pajama Cast Party.
Yes.
Moving that online, I'll ask you about that in just a sec, but what's clear when I see that online is you're making the connection, obviously, to check in with friends and colleagues, but you're also shedding a light, I guess, or showcasing new talent, people that you haven't even met sometimes, and really cultivating a community online. I guess it was really necessary to continue those connections for you, wasn't it?
Well, I didn't know it at the time. But yes, it really was. The first, I would say the first month of the pandemic was, for me and everybody else on the planet, incredibly sad and depressing and dark. And the second I figured out that we could take Cast Party, which is the Monday night open mic night, really, that I've been hosting and producing at Birdland here in New York City for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
When we figured out how to put it on YouTube, thanks to my trusty producer friend, Ruby Lochner, everything opened up for me. Everything brightened, and I felt like myself again. And I was able to celebrate talent, which I love to do, and feel like I was making some kind of a connection in the world again, even though I was, you know, quarantined in my one-bedroom apartment. So every Monday is like a real gift for me, honestly. Not to sound altruistic or anything, but it's just been a real joy. And we've done 33 weeks of them now,
wow,
which is crazy.
And the talent that comes on week after week, I mean, it's just remarkable. And you and Ruby seem to have, like, you're having such fun every week, you know?
We are. It really is. You know, I wake up on Tuesday mornings kind of exhausted, just like I used to when we were doing it live, because of it's like a talent hangover. I'm so energized by the superstars we get, the up-and-comers we get. We also love celebrating kids that had been kind of shut out of doing their spring musical or their graduation in concerts or whatever. So that's been exciting too. And as you said, I'm meeting people that I don't know. I find really talented people on Instagram and YouTube, and I just message them out of the blue, and they come on and entertain us. So we're growing our community as we celebrate this great talent.
And for a lot of, and it brings, you know, this idea of Jim Caruso's Cast Party, brings it all over the world, doesn't it, with YouTube and you know, people who've never been to New York, but you know, fascinated by it, love it.
When we're at Birdland, we can seat 150 people.
Mm.
When we do Cast Party on Pajama Cast Party online, we've reached up to, I mean, I think our biggest audience was 15,000.
Wow.
The first, you know, for the first night,
mm-hmm.
and then it sits on YouTube and it can grow from there.
Yeah.
So yeah, people from all over the world obviously are able to watch it. So it does kind of grow the brand in a funny kind of way, which is so cool.
Indeed. Now, I was telling you before we started the album, Christmas at Birdland. When I heard it about a week or so ago, I mean, we're taping this in late October, late November. It's my first sort of experience with Christmas this year, and what's that song from MAME? You know, we really need a little Christmas, don't we?
I mean, truly, if we've ever needed Christmas, it's 2020. We really need it. I'm just on the edge of putting up my Christmas tree. I want to do it so badly.
Yeah.
But I'm holding off till after Thanksgiving. But man, it's been hard because a little some lights and some you know, joy in my apartment will be a very, very nice thing.
And so the event, Christmas at Birdland, that's Friday, December 18th. What will that look like?
Well, that'll look like very much like the show that Billy Stritch, Clea Blackhurst, and I have done at Birdland in New York City. This will be our 11th year of doing this show called A Swinging Birdland Christmas. And it's been, talk about a joy for all these years to know that we have this gig every Christmas. That's nice in itself. And to celebrate with each other. So this year, we decided to film it. and it's part of the Radio Free Birdland concert series that anybody can see on BroadwayWorld.com, which is a great theater online website and
right.
magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So you just go to events.BroadwayWorld.com and look for a Swinging Birdland Christmas. It's really old school, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
It's three old school people that loved watching those Christmas specials on TV in the 70s, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Andy Williams and Sonny and Cher and the Osmonds, and it's so wholesome you could faint.
Yeah, and do you actually you film it in Birdland, sir?
Yes, we filmed it last month,
uh-huh.
Which is weird to be,
because right.
it was like 85 degrees and we were sweating, singing Christmas songs on the Birdland Theater stage. And but it's a beautiful concert. Four cameras actually. Great sound, great lights. I think it's going to look really good.
So that's Friday, December 18th, and so you mentioned Billy Stritch, obviously, a marvelous accompanist. You've worked with him for years, haven't you?
4 years. We've been best friends for, 30-some years. And we work together quite a bit. He's the musical director at Cast Party every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We sing at the Carlisle Hotel every Sunday together. We've worked a lot together. And Clea Blackhurst is an incredible Broadway singer, hilariously funny, multi-talented. She plays the trumpet. She sings her head off. She is so much fun to work with. We really are like brothers and sisters.
How would you describe Clea Blackhurst's voice? Because listening to the album, I hadn't heard her until I listened to the album. I must have heard her previously, but seriously, listening to her and her numbers, listening to the album, it's a beautiful voice. It's a powerful voice, but it's unique, isn't it?
It is. I would call her an old school belter.
Mm.
But it's clarion. It cuts through. It will curl your hair. But she has great taste and also knows when to pull back. She does a gorgeous song called A Child Is Born, which is on the record and in the concert, that's a lullaby, essentially. And it's an extraordinary moment on the record. And it also, that cut also has our friend Dave Koz on sax, which is a thrill. But Clea just has wonderful taste and knows how to use that big, huge, brassy voice in the most inventive ways. I love her voice.
The three of you together. I can't remember the name of the number that you do a couple things together, I believe.
Yeah, bunch.
Yeah, it's just you sound, well, you sound like your friends, which is nice. But you just sound like you're having so much fun, and it gets the listener into that Christmas spirit that, as I said a moment ago, just we all need.
Well, I think I love vocal groups. I grew up in a vocal group for 10 years. I was with a group called Wise Guys. Billy had an incredible vocal trio for many, many years. But there is something about the relationship. Our goal was not to sound like jingle singers choir singers
sure,
or anything. Yeah. We want it to sound like three individuals who come together because they love each other, because they love the music, and I'm glad to hear you think it sounds like we're three friends, because we really are.
Yeah. Who else is part of the event on the 18th? I understand Marilyn Mays will be appearing. Is that right?
Yes. Well, Billy has been Marilyn Mays' musical director, one of her musical directors, for years and years and years. And she is, of course, one of the greatest pop and great American songbook singers known to man. I think she's 93 now. She would really hate me telling you that. But it's not like there is no air of nostalgia to her voice. She sounds better than she has ever sounded. She's funnier than ever. She's gorgeous. And so we were thrilled to get Billy played a beautiful Christmas song for her, and she's doing a special appearance on the concert. We have a wonderful chat with our friend Dave Koz, and the whole show starts with my friend Luke Hawkins tap dancing his feet off, decorating the stage for the Christmas holidays.
And
it's like a real special, a Christmas special.
And I guess people listening to this, you filmed it at Birdland, and all those protocols for safety, I mean, those were all recognized, weren't they?
Man, I'll say. This series at Birdland, Radio Free Birdland, has been a real godsend to the community here, to the jazz and Broadway communities, doing these beautiful concerts. But when I say safety has been first, Birdland has made sure. There are three cameras run by one guy who is masked and as far away as you can imagine. There are two guys doing sound and lights, masked way over in a corner, and the artist, no audience. It's a very sparse room, but I think when you watch it, you'll really feel the great energy coming at you from the performance and from the heart of Birdland.
Indeed. I can't wait for the 18th. I mean, bring it on. You know what I mean?
Me too.
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun because we're going to do there's a VIP ticket for a couple bucks more, and we're going to do a Zoom call with those people. And then all the VIP people get a signed CD, and then we'll be on in the chat room during the concert, chatting with all the fans and the friends and the family. So it's really going to be, I'm so looking forward to this, like it's my birthday. It's really going to be a fun day.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago that Birdland seats 150 people. When we all get back to normal, whenever that is, it's going to be a lot different. I was talking to Jack Vertel on this podcast March 11th, and we didn't know then what would obviously happen. I mean, we had a sense that things were going to change shortly, and they did very quickly, I guess, the next day, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it going to look like? And I mean, does Broadway, does show business, you know, cabarets, nightclubs, will they survive?
Well, the short answer is yes. Birdland is reopening on December 2nd. And at this point, unless the city thinks otherwise and shuts us down again, but the immediate goal is that we are reopening. But that means we have 25% of an audience.
Mm.
So in the Birdland Theater, that'll be 25 or 30 people in the audience. And a very socially distanced stage. So that means piano player and singer, or piano player and guitar player, or whatever. But very few people on the stage. A very pared down staff. And the club has done an unbelievable job kind of setting up the room so it doesn't feel like you're in the middle of an empty room. Mm-hmm. I think it's really going to feel great. And then all the things that they've done to make sure that the room is safe. So that includes, well, first of all, everybody has to have their temperature taken, and all of that stuff, everybody is masked. The tables are spaced 6 feet apart. There are plexi barriers in between the tables. Everything, even down to the piano keys, which have to be sanitized in between shows.
Yeah.
At the microphones, things you don't even think about.
Yeah.
The dressing room tables and all of that stuff during this concert series, and certainly when we have the luxury of reopening, all of that has to be discussed, thought about, and dealt with. So, yeah, it's going to be a different world. But at least, even though we'll have 25% capacity, it'll be real live human beings. And we cannot wait to get in there and start feeling like ourselves again.
So, I mean, it is called show business. I mean, that's the show part, I guess. But the business part,
yeah.
One wonders.
I know.
How is that sustainable, do you think?
Well, it's not. I mean, if it were going to be 25% until the end of time, it's not sustainable. But the hope is it's 25% for a month or a few months, and then the next month it's 50%, and you know, you got to start somewhere.
Indeed.
And you know, it remains to be seen how an audience feels about it too. If I were going to a theater and I was sitting next to somebody and they coughed or sneezed, I think I'd have a heart attack at this point.
Yeah.
But you know, nightclubs have the opportunity to have seating, you know, 6 feet apart. I feel like the nightclub scene will be able to come back, I guess, before the Broadway scene, which doesn't make me happy to say that for my Broadway friends, but hopefully we'll be able to start the ball rolling with getting live entertainment back up and running.
Indeed. You know, with a name like Caruso, it seems inevitable that singing is you know, would be your career. Did you sing at a young age?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both my parents were musicians, and I had great support from them. I was doing theater as a kid, and you know, anything to be in show business. I loved it all. I started singing in clubs very early. With my mother at the piano, if you can believe. That was not a good act. But it was, we had fun. I've been singing my whole life.
And did you grow up in New York? Or?
No, I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I see.
And then moved to Dallas, Texas. And then I moved to New York in 1990 and have loved every split second of being in this town.
In the course of my research in preparing for a chat today, I understand that you grew up with Marilyn Dennis, is that right?
Oh, yes. We didn't grow up together, but we went to school together. I think we were in 7th and 8th grade together.
I see.
I think we were in the same homeroom. We made each other laugh.
Uh-huh.
And then decades went by, and I didn't know what happened to Marilyn Dennis. I didn't know. She didn't know what happened to me. All of a sudden, we found each other on Facebook, and of course, I see her crazy success, and what a joy to have her back in my life.
Yeah, for people listening to this in this country, Marilyn Dennis is a pretty big deal. Radio host, talk show host on television, and has been for many years. I listened to a bit of the you appeared on her podcast recently, and
yes,
it just sounds like, you know, again, two friends from going way back, and you have a shorthand almost, you know, listening to you two.
It's true, and I think it's one reason people love watching me and Billy Stritch because we're great friends, and when we're together on stage, there's a shorthand, there are inside jokes, there's fun, there are the looks together. People appreciate that and love it. It's why we love, so many acts that we love, because you love watching Sonny and Cher, you love watching Carol Burnett and Harvey Korman making each other laugh, and that's what I grew up just obsessing over, and to now be able to be part of that kind of an energy on stage is one of the great joys.
Looking at your career, I mean, you probably grew up listening to Liza Minnelli. What is it like then to be on Broadway with her? And not only on Broadway, and I mean, you mentioned before we started that you worked with here in Vancouver. To work at a place like the Palace with her during that run on Broadway.
Listen, that was an unbelievable time. We toured with a show that became Liza's at the Palace for 3 years all over the world. And I'd worked with Liza for years before that. Billy has been her musical director forever.
Right.
So we were friends. I was with a group that opened for her. I assisted her. We have been in each other's lives in many, many different ways. But to open at the Palace Hotel, to open at the Palace Theater was a joy that you can't even imagine. First of all, singing the great arrangements of Kay Thompson, who was Liza's godmother, and a friend of mine, to have Billy Stritch at the piano leading the orchestra right behind us, to be with friends on stage recreating the Williams Brothers vocals, who had been on the road with that very same Kay Thompson in her nightclub act. And then to be with Liza Minnelli, this icon, on the stage of the Palace, so many historic concert returns, and her mother, Judy Garland.
Yeah.
Historically, you know, changing her life at the Palace. It was crazy. It was crazy and felt historic and felt... and that was over Christmas, too.
Right.
That was a really, really good November and December.
Yeah.
So it was... I can never put into words what that experience meant. It was the thrill of a lifetime.
What is she like off stage, if you will, because I mean, she's someone who's been in the public eye her whole life. She must have marvelous stories about old Hollywood, not to mention, you know, in her own legendary career. She's also become, you know, an image. She's become a caricature. You just think of those beautiful eyes, which have been, depicted, you know, people like Warhol or Hirschfeld. I mean, you know, the famous themselves. What is she like, you know, off stage, if you will?
I never know what to say when people ask me that, because I feel like I know her almost too well to be able to really explain. Liza has been one of the best friends I've ever had. She trusted and celebrated me when I was very low on the totem pole of show business. She loved surrounding herself with talent, whether they're famous or not famous. She throws when she was living in New York, she would throw a party every Saturday, and it revolved around Kentucky Fried Chicken and talented people. She would have the chicken delivered, and the party would be Barbra Streisand and Janet Jackson and Ann Miller and Madonna and cabaret singers and Brazilian guitarists and songwriters and Cy Coleman and, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
But people of all levels. I mean, people you've never heard of, but we all ended up around the piano, and everybody would entertain each other. It was like in the movies.
Right.
So she's giving, she's warm, she's hilariously funny. She loves her friends. She loves surrounding herself with talented, funny, smart people. And, I mean, I'm not sure how else to describe her. She's an incredible friend and somebody that changed my life. That's for damn sure.
And she's someone, you know, because she's so famous as a celebrity, we forget what a good actress she is. I mean, sure, she has an Oscar and you know, all kinds of awards.
Yeah.
But a hell of a good singer as well.
Yeah, yeah, she really is. And boy, you're right, she is famous. We would be on the road in Mexico City or Finland. Yeah. And, you know, we'd be in a car and there would be somebody at a stoplight looking over, unrolling their window, waving. It's like, Liza, Liza, Lisa, Lisa. No, well, it's Liza, but thank you. You know, she's iconic all over the world. It's that face. People know that face.
And it must have been a thrill for people, you know, those Monday nights when she'd show up at Cast Party, right?
Yes. She's a big reason Cast Party took off. She would come in. She would come in with a big group of friends. Sometimes they were fancy, famous friends. Uh-huh. Sometimes they, you know, we never knew who she was going to show up with. And she would always get up and sing. So people would start to come in, you know, kind of looking for Liza, like, what's going to happen? And after she'd be there, you know, we'd be in Page Six.
Yeah.
And we started to get press because of her. So it really helped us kick off the concept of Cast Party, as you never know who's going to walk in. It could be Liza, it could be Tony Bennett, it could be Michael Feinstein, it could be Natalie Cole, it could be the weird lady from Comac, Long Island that writes songs about her feet, it could be a hula dancer, it could be a ventriloquist. We are still like the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah. Looking at your bio, I also read that you worked with Rosemary Clooney. I guess that would be near the end of her career.
Yeah. Well, yes. No, it was not at the beginning of her career.
Yeah, no, definitely not. You're far too young for that. But
just barely.
I listened,
was part of my vocal group,
yeah,
Wise Guys.
So I listened to the on Spotify. I guess she did an album when she turned 70. And,
yeah,
you know, there were all sorts of physical ailments, you know, when you're on mm-hmm. television and the sort. But, I mean, that voice was better than ever.
I know. Isn't it amazing how, and even when you sometimes in some of these performers, you hear the ravages of how age has changed their voice. Maybe they don't sound like they did when they were 20. But it just makes it more delicious and golden and inspiring. I actually love hearing people's voices age for the most part. And she is at the top of the heap. My gosh, that voice was a miracle. And she was hilarious to work with. And we did one concert with her. It's not uh-huh. like we were best friends, but we did one concert with her at Carnegie Hall, and it was talk about a thrill. Holy Toledo.
Yeah. You've worked some great rooms over the years, haven't you?
I can't believe how lucky I've been. For somebody with like a decent singing voice, you know, it's fine. I have been so lucky and so really gifted by a lot of really terrific experiences.
You have a pretty good singing voice. I mean, it's testament on the album, Christmas at Birdland,
thanks.
which I suggest people, if they need a little Christmas right now and they can't wait for December 18th to fire that up, And obviously,
good, and it did well. It sold. It was like number two on the iTunes chart. Number something on Billboard. What was it? Seven.
Yeah.
On Billboard. That was exciting.
And then, of course, December 18th. We can't wait for that. I've so enjoyed talking to you, Jim. All the best. Break a leg, as they say.
You're so nice. Thank you, Joseph. And all the best to you. Stay healthy. To all the people in Vancouver, hello. Can't wait to get back.
A Swinging Birdland Christmas is next Friday, the 18th of December. Visit eventsbroadwayworld.com for tickets. Birdlandjazz.com has more information if you need it. And, of course, visit jim-caruso.com for information on Jim. Christmas at Birdland, the album, is from Club 44 Records. Jim Caruso joined me on the line from New York City. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.